Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show, and we're here tonight with the boys from Kettering.
This is going to come up. There we go. But I mean, with the actual sort of taking over, Rich. I mean, how did you find that? Because I think, if I'm right mistaken, you took over from somebody that I know quite well, in Andy Lease. Am I right?
Yes. Well, Andy Lees and a lad called Jim took over after Jim Masseau. He took over as like sort of a caretaker, and then he got appointed a manager. But how it come around, obviously, I worked under Richie June before, 5 years ago at Kettering. I was assistant manager when we won this league quite comfortably, and I ended up leaving after the year, got promoted. Me and the manager left, went on to something new. And then Richie, I've always kept in contact with Richie, so he phoned me out of the blue and said, do you fancy coming back? I was manager of a team called in Leicester called Quorn at the time, which I took them from step five on the verge to step three in two and a half years. So I was in a good job there, doing well, but it was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. Yes, they were near the bottom of the table, but I know how big Kettering can be. So when Richie come knocking, yeah, I jumped in straight away and said, yeah, I'll come on board, like, you know. And from then on, obviously, I'm still here.
I mean, you look at your sort of league you're in, and there is some, you know, notably there is some really big teams in there, and you know, and you look at the likes of, you know, AFC Telford that are in there. I mean, there's some, you know, playing teams like that. I mean, in the league, it's crazy how the sort of the non-league system now has got a lot of sort of old Premier League and established sort of league, and you know, teams now into the actual non-league system, isn't it?
Yeah. I was at Telford. I played for Telford, so I know how big Telford is. So I think Telford are the biggest team in this league, and we're up there in the top three, really, by name and by club size. If you look at our attendances compared to the rest of them, there's probably us, Telford, Hales Owen, Hales Owen, and probably Bromsgrove as well, like up there with the top attendances. I think we pulled, was it 1,600 fans on Bank Holiday Monday, Doug?
Absolutely, yeah.
Against Harbour, which is a big achievement. And when I was here before, I think we pulled 2,500 on Boxing Day against Richardson Diamonds, or New Year's Day, one of the two. So we know how big it can be at Kettering. When you're doing well, the crowds come out to support you, like.
But so I would have thought AFC Telford must be quite pleased that you're still in the FA Cup, to give them a bit of extra time to dry the ground out.
No, yeah, it's bad, wasn't it? Yeah, it's so bad, wasn't it? Yeah,
it's but they've got a fantastic stadium facilities there, haven't they? I mean, it's a lovely ground. It's huge, isn't it? But yeah, the pitch is it's a little bit of a mess, as many others are as well. We've seen at different levels of the league. So, but that's one of the things that you battle with, I suppose. Really, just making sure as we're coming into that time where you've got to watch for you know, flooded pitches, and you know, winter is coming, as they say, so that's going to have an impact on it, and we've just got to be careful of that. But I think, as you was mentioning earlier, I think what's interesting is that as time has gone on, the actual quality, I think, of the football in the non-league pyramid has actually increased, and you've got clubs like Oldham, and you've got you know, with other ones that have come down from the league, and I think that's probably quality has got a bit closer, and I think that's probably the same for our, you know, level in the pyramid as well. I think it's, you know, it is a positive, but it just shows that it is very competitive.
I mean, with Kettering Town, is it one of the teams that maybe is on the brink of different leagues, depending on what step you're in? You know, I know there's some of the teams around near my way, you know, they seem to jump from Southern League to Isthmian League, and then they jump, some of them have jumped into, and even jumped into the Northern League. They're all sort of like on that boundary. I mean, yeah. Just on that boundary of the Southern League, so you know always that you're going to be in there.
Yeah, I think we're on the border, aren't we? We're a bit 50-50 on where we are. It suits me, though, because I'm this side, so I don't mind it.
But you're right, though. But for some competitions, we're in the north; others, we're in the south. It's difficult to know when you get the draws. So, but yeah. So, but sometimes it works for you. That's all.
I mean, I guess last week, of course, we're Biggleswade FC, and when the draw came out for the FA Cup, they were in the north.
Yeah.
How Biggleswade have ever made it into the north part of the draw, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's very strange, though, isn't it? I've seen that start, and I thought, why is that like? You know, yeah. It depends how many teams, I suppose, are in it both sides. I don't know how it works. So,
I mean, I think, I think they were more than pleased when they pulled out York City. So no, I think they were more than pleased when they pulled
Yeah, they're
that.
happy, weren't they? Yeah, it's good support.
Yeah.
That's a good money day for them, I suppose, isn't it?
But not on the telly, believe it or
No,
not.
yeah, because I think
Yeah.
Hensford on the TV against Gateshead,
Yeah.
aren't
Yeah,
they?
against Gateshead, which was weird. But I mean, talking about your league, I mean, good start. I mean, sitting there in third place, Richard, you know, 2 points behind Leeds with a game in hand. So I mean, it's going really well, isn't it?
Yeah, we lost 1-11, mate. Going into Saturday, just gone. Like, we got beaten the trophy, but. I'll take the blame for that because I rested a few players, so I'll take the responsibility for losing that game Saturday. But the thought behind it was obviously we're in the FA Cup. Our goal is the league, so I can't be doing an FA Trophy run, FA Cup run, and trying to get promoted on a sort of small squad. So we took the hit Saturday, which I don't like losing, but if I was going to lose the game, it would have been that game. I had one eye on looking into Saturday, really. So yeah.
I mean, with it, I mean, you're talking about teams and that. I mean, I suppose the question's got to be, how did you manage to get your star man? I mean, that sort of came right out of the blue. I mean, where did Mr. Ranger come from all of a sudden? Because it was sort of like, I was looking at it, wow.
Yeah, the owners knew his agent, so it got put on that way, really. They spoke to his agent. He'd been training with Barnet in the daytime for all pre-season, so he was fit. He was playing games for Barnet. For whatever reason, he didn't sign for Barnet. So we've gone in, made him an offer, and he's come in. He scored 5 in 5. He's been good for us, mate. Yeah, he's only 33. People think he's old, but he's only 33, which is I don't class as old, personally, but. Some people might in a football years, but because I played till I was quite in my early 40s, I don't class that as old. So he's still got more life in him. He's doing the business for us, 5 in 5, like I said. So yeah, he's done us a big favour, really. Yeah.
Must be like a bit of fresh air as well for, you know, for some of the players in the squad as well when they see somebody of, you know, of his sort of stature coming into the team because. You know, is he the type of character that goes around and puts the arm around the shoulder of maybe some of the youngsters and helping out? Or is he, you know, tell us a little bit about him. I mean,
To be
is
fair, you probably won't believe this, but you probably wouldn't even know he was there in the changing room, if I'm honest. He comes in, he gets his kit on, he goes out, he does his business, he comes into the bar, and he's gone. You wouldn't even know he was there. So he is probably, I don't know him personally. Obviously, I've only met him, I've known him a month now. So yeah, he doesn't really say a lot. He's a nice enough bloke. And like I say, he's still got life in him yet, and I'm hoping we could keep him. If not, he might move on. Who knows?
Not sticking him on a contract then and asking for £1 million when he goes.
No, I'm not, mate. No.
I think you made this a really good point that Richard made there because he's we interviewed him for Catching Town Media last weekend and what's really good about him is he's actually fitted into that you know, overall dressing room really well. He's very happy with it. And if you look at some of the pictures from the games and even afterwards, you know, he's playing well. He's enjoying his football. And I think given what he's been through and some of the issues there, and it's great for him to be able to give him the atmosphere and given the environment and the atmosphere to be able to express his, you know, his obvious talent. And I think he's very happy here.
Yeah, happy days. So with the league itself, though, I mean, any surprises so far? I mean, is you know Stamford sitting at the top a surprise? Is Bedford Town second a surprise or?
Not really, mate. It's early days. I don't get carried away with all because it's only 10 games gone. But like we're in the mix already. Like you said, we're 2 points behind Stamford with a game in hand. But it's early days yet, isn't it? Stamford are a good team. They got promoted the year before last. They've been the same sort of team for years. Graham Jory adds a couple of players each year, but they've got a good bunch of lads. So there's no grey areas why they're top of the league. But we beat them last quite comfortably last. I think the week on Tuesday, we beat them 2-0. It could have been more. So if they're top, and we've seen a lot of the teams now, and I've watched a lot of the teams in this league, on our day, we'll compete with anybody. So yeah, it's wide open. There's probably 10 teams that could probably go and get promoted, us being one of them. But like I say, it's early days yet, so I'm not getting carried away, but we're in a good place at the minute.
That's a quarter
Yeah, no,
of
yeah. Oh,
the
yeah,
way through,
anything,
though.
oh, yeah, anything could happen. We lost Saturday, and I was getting booed by some fans. So that's how that just shows you how fickle fans are, doesn't it?
That's because you've got high standards there, Richard.
Yeah,
That's
you're
what
right. That's
started
my
with us.
own
You've
fault.
set the
Probably my own
bar.
fault, Doug. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'll take it.
I think the other feature there, I think you mentioned a bit, is that is actually there could be 10 teams that might go up, but actually what's been really good for the league, I think, is some of the teams that have actually come up, like sort of Bedford Town, we were talking earlier, and Harborough, that have come up, they've made a significant positive impact in terms of the league itself, not only in the terms of the way that they've been playing and the results, but they've made a really good positive, and it's added to that mix of the teams there, and even at our level, there's a lot of money being invested by certain clubs in the playing squads, as you often see at this level, where they place some bets, spin the wheel, see if they come up, on red, who knows? But it makes it for a very interesting league, and as Richard was saying, it is open. There's no doubt about that this time. So, but we're not far from a quarter way in, and given what we've seen over the last 3 seasons, this is for a fan, this is amazing.
I mean, the game on the weekend, Partey Celtic, of course, in the FA Cup, last one before the sort of so-called big boys or semi-big boys come into it. I mean, of course, going into that, I don't suppose you'll be resting anybody at the weekend then, Richard, no?
No, chaps. I'll rest them. I might have a rest myself, mate. But yeah, I've rested players at the weekend for a reason, so they're obviously fresh going into this game. I'm excited because it is obviously a big game for the club. I think it's 13 years since they last got to the first round, which is a long time for a club at this size, really. So yeah, it's a big game for the club and a big game for the fans, but and etc. Yes. And the last time, I'll just say later, the last time I played for Hearts Celtic, it was from a player point of view, and they beat us in the playoff final in the Conference North when I was at Hinckley. And
Really?
we played at Burton Albion's ground, and I think they beat us 3-2 in the final to get into the conference back in the daylight. So I've got to get one over on them somehow, haven't
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the travel distance like? Is it a long distance, long travel? Is it local or?
From Kettering, I think it's from Kettering about, I'd say, 3.5 hours, Doug.
Yeah, it probably is. Depending on traffic, could be a little bit longer, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, but we've got a few London-based lads. Obviously, so that's another 2 hours on top of that for them. Like Niall's London-based, so that's another 2 hours on top for them. But we're staying over the night before, so we've sorted that out to stay over on the Friday nights.
Which is a good thing, a positive thing, especially as, and even if you look at it from Farsley Celtic point of view, they're not playing at their ground at the moment because their pitch is being renovated, and so we're playing at a so-called neutral venue at Guiseley, which is quite close to Farsley, so Celtic, so it's still a bit of a travel for us, but that's fine. That's the way it is. We've been drawn away, so that's the travel, and obviously the fans have got a day out to look forward to as well.
And is it one of those things that the club's already sort of like, just started from, forms yes, so on Saturday, is it already the excitement starting to build for that week for the week? I mean, how do you sort of keep the player, especially some of the younger players that maybe haven't been this far before, how important is it for you now, sort of maybe Tuesday, Thursday, if that's when you train, to actually sort of try and calm them down a little bit, keep their heads on their shoulders going into the game, and also as well, how much time have you actually been able to spend sort of scouting them?
Yeah, I don't get carried away really. And we're quite fortunate. We've got a lot of players in that changing room that have been further in the FA Cup, so we've got a lot of experience in there. Even some of the younger lads that have been further. So, like I say, I don't put any pressure on them. I'll just take it like each game as it comes. Even though it's a big game, I'll play it down. I'm not going to play it up, sort of thing, and put a bit of pressure on them. Listen, if you do that, you end up with egg on your face. So it's best just to like approach the week as normal, like we normally do. And then Saturday again. Yes, we're staying over on the Friday night, which is a bit different than we normally do, of course. But we're doing that for a reason, to give ourselves the best possible chance, obviously, to get the results. But yeah, I'll treat it no differently regarding what I do, regarding team talks, training, blah blah blah. It'll be the same as normal. So nothing changes for me.
I mean, Doug, what about everybody, the fans wise, and that from your sort of point? I mean, everybody getting a bit excited that there's a possibility. And as we said, I don't know if people caught it before. There's some very, very big boys now that you could pull if you manage to get past this round in the first round of the FA Cup.
Well, I mean, it's amazing for us. It's exciting. We have our sort of heritage and our lineage in the FA Cup, as we mentioned earlier, with the high school scorers, etc. But not only that, but we've had some fantastic nights and Saturdays in the FA Cup. When we were playing Fulham and Leeds, and I think as Lavs was mentioning earlier, there it's been 13 years since we got to the first round. We lost 1-0 against Sutton United, but nevertheless, we got there. And For us, it still has that magic for the club itself, and I think that's why the fans get excited. But you're right. I mean, if we can win on Saturday, and there's no pressure, lads, on that at all, obviously. But if we could, then for us to get in that draw for the first round is, I think it's a milestone for the club. It's a milestone for the new owners that have helped us to get there. And obviously, it's a feather in the cap of Labs and the team, which is again, people don't realise that it is a new team. It's not something that's already been playing for two or three seasons together. Labs has had to craft that team and recruit and build since the time he's been here. So to get us to where we are at this point, not only in the league but the FA Cup runs, is a very fantastic achievement. But I think all the fans are really looking forward to going away. Playing a northern club's also always a good thing for us as well. And it's because there's some fantastic pubs up there. So the fans overall from football and social and leisure will be very happy with that draw.
So if this, if you know, if this be hypothetical, you get through at the weekend, who is it you want, Richard?
Well, it's a bit like I say, there's some massive clubs in there, like, but you've got Birmingham in there as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like, just come down, it's local to myself, sort of thing. So there is some massive clubs. I'd like it's one of them. I'd probably like a home draw and maybe a lesser draw. I don't know. You can look at it both ways. You either get a big boy and have a good day, and obviously probably go out, or you get sort of a winnable one, and then maybe you get in the second round. You know what I mean? So you can look at it both ways, but I'm quite fortunate. I've had some good FA Cup runs over my career, so I know what it's all about, and I know what it's like. And the days out are fabulous, like, you know. So it is good for the players, the supporters, for the club, everybody involved. It's I love the FA Cup. Yeah, I love it.
But I mean, I think as sort of step three or step four clubs that may be going into it at the weekend, and possibly winning. I mean, did you think? No, not necessarily just talking about Kettering. I'm talking about any clubs that actually get to that first round from our sort of step level in the non-league. What would you think they'd do if they pulled people like Birmingham City, or they pulled people like Bolton, or they pulled people like Wrexham? I mean, would you rather that be away because you're gonna cane in a bit of bob, or would you rather see Wrexham, say, for instance, come to you?
Well, I think you got more chance of winning at home, haven't you? We played Torquay and Brentford years ago at Hinkley, when I played for Hinkley, and they come and obviously the pitch, the surroundings weren't great, and they hated playing there. And obviously we beat Torquay and we drew against Brentford and took them to a replay. They beat us in the replay 2-1, but we give them a game at our place because obviously they're not used to the surroundings and what the ground's like. River Kettering, is the same, really. I'm not saying it's a bad ground, but they won't be used to playing on the pitch and the surroundings. So you can look at it both ways. You can go away and get a big crowd, play at a nice stadium, and possibly go out, or you have a home draw and it gives yourself the best possible chance to maybe beat them and cause an upset.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think you're right. Just to have it to be at home, I think would be fantastic. And then get a replay away if we needed to, if we don't beat them, obviously, whoever that might be. If it's a Wrexham, for example, who knows? It's but the just the environment, the fans, the pitch at Art of home ground is our 13th man, really. Maybe it is. It's that extra ingredient that the level leaves to. On paper, it's going to be, if we, let's hope, if we get through, who knows, touch wood, and we draw something like a Wrexham, for example, and Wrexham won't relish having to come down, to us if we draw them. I think, but that's part of the magic of it all. It's the uncertainty, it's the excitement, and it's the ability to cause an upset. That's what it's all about.
And
Of
probably
course,
not only that as well. If I think we do get through, we've probably got a good opportunity or chance to get obviously the cameras there, I think, because of who we are and obviously the goal
exactly.
scoring and
I
all
was going to
that.
say that. Yeah. So I mean, if you end up getting, you probably will be almost guaranteed if you was to get a home to draw and you end up getting Birmingham or Wrexham. I think you're guaranteed, aren't you? Almost really.
And not only that, it generates quite a lot of money, doesn't it, David? I think this next round's worth 25 grand to us. Which is a lot of money for a club at our size. It helps out with the bills and obviously the staff and obviously the playing side of it as well. So it is a big part of it for the money side as well.
Yeah, it is.
That's probably be about 70 as well, somewhere around that sort of, and 70K for the cameras to get there as well. So,
Yeah, all day, mate. Yeah, for that one. Yeah.
yeah, definitely. In fact, we have, I mean, not only the fact that if we got Nile Ranger here as well, but they've just in terms of the club and the heritage, we had the BBC down last week that we're doing some filming just down there for the BBC, just to be able to try and capture what it means locally, and the impact that it would have, you know, on the actual team itself. So there is genuine interest in it, just in terms of the club. So, but certainly commercially, it would make a massive difference to us.
So no pressure on me, is it? I've got to get a result
There's none
then.
at all. I don't know.
And
It's never a sore. This is going to be absolutely fine. Don't
I don't
worry
fair.
about it.
I always say to lads that I don't feel pressure. Pressure is when you can't pay your bills, isn't it? Not playing a football game. So
It's true. It's true.
I mean, going on from there after that, of course, you've got a midweek game next week against Bromsgrove Sporting. So, I mean, you know, there's another away trip for you, and then at home to Sudbury and Stourbridge. I mean, you've got some, yeah, got a few games in quick succession coming up.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, David. I like getting the games in quick, thick and fast sort of thing. Because once you have a run in the FA Cup, you tend to drop down obviously the table because you play two or three, four games less than everybody else when you get a cup run. But I want to stay in the FA Cup. Obviously, I want to do well in the league. So yeah, points on the board rather than games in hand. It suits me better getting points on the board. So the games can come thick and fast. I don't mind that, mate.
I'm looking at your fixtures, and it's probably the first set of fixtures I've looked at this year on the show where they've been quite fair in a way, if you know what I'm trying. And what I mean by that is you get a couple at home, couple away, couple at home, couple away. I think somebody last week, they'd played nearly 6 weeks and hadn't played a home game because every cup draw was away, and then they had like a load of away fixtures all around it as well. So how difficult is it when you start getting games postponed and you're sort of in a run where you've got maybe a load of games away from home? How difficult does that sort of become for you?
Well, financially, obviously, it's a bit of a killer, isn't it? Because I'm not saying we not saying we need the money from the attendances, but if we're getting, well, I think we're averaging over 900 at home games. So
Right.
you work that if you work that out, that is quite a large chunk of money to go to the playing budget sort of thing. So if we're getting got games called off or you're playing away, obviously you've got to find money from elsewhere, haven't you? So it is difficult for any non-league club, especially ours, because we do get a decent attendance.
I think that's a fair point, actually, because you are running a business at the end of the day, and you need that cash flow, you need that the cup runs help, but you need the if you the fans can come in and experience it and spend at the social club or buy some of the, you know, merchandise, etc. It makes a massive difference. I don't think, and it's one that I didn't realize, you know, until I came into the club, how critical the other activities that sit around the actual Saturday match or whatever at home. It does make a massive difference to us. So you're right, having a you know string of away games doesn't help the actual back balance. And it's great to keep the interest up as well for people. That's why we're getting, you know, as Glass was saying, 900 people on average coming through the door for you know, and at our level of the pyramid, that is fantastic.
And not only that, David, we went away to St. Ives the week in the FA Cup. I think we took 400, at least 400 fans to an away game, which is a lot of clubs can't. Well, they don't get that home games. We're taking that to away games, which is unbelievable.
I mean, the playing surface, is it grass?
Yeah, grass, mate. Yeah.
Grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to us about the rest of the club then. I mean, the actual club itself. I mean, have we got, you know, under 23s, under 18s? Have we got youth? We've got ladies. I mean, tell us a little bit more about the club in general and the makeup of the club.
Go on,
Yeah, I think that, yeah, we have. We've got quite a. We're based in the community very much, so we've got the main first team, obviously. We've got a very large academy which is playing at you know different levels. Got the you know under 18s. They got to one of the cup finals last year as well, and we've got various different teams that go up from seven upwards. And so it's quite. I think it's about 400 kids, I think, across the board if you look at it that way, They're playing regularly in the teams. We've got a couple of teams that do walking football as well as part of that. So it's quite a diverse team that we've got in terms of the actual community. It's not just all based on the actual first team. And we've also got Right on the ground itself, we've got a particular separate area which we do for various different trend courses and also education as well. So some of the teams there are playing their football there, but they're also getting educated at the ground. So you've got a good balance there of being able to try and bring people on in terms of their own football skills, but also in terms of their social and their business skills as well. So it's a really good blend, and it's something that we're very proud of, and it's something that we are looking to actually extend as and when we get more opportunities. In fact, we're just about to put in a grant to hopefully get 2 3G pitches, even though we will always play on grass for our main team, if you like, for the first team. Unlike some of the other teams that are playing, our level have gone, to that 3G approach. We're gonna stay on the grass, but have other 3G pitches, which will help not only, various different aspects of the community enjoy and participate in football from a community point of view, but it'll also bring in from a commercial point of view, certainly a lot of money that we would need to be able to help run the club and then reinvest back into the community and the first team itself. So that's the sort of trajectory and plan that we are on currently.
Can I ask the question? I mean, one of the questions that I always get asked to, I get the Wear manager always, Paul Halsey, always says, I need you to ask this question at the Summer League. I need you to ask this question. And every time he's on the program, one of them on there, he asks the same question all the time. So I'm going to ask you this question to see whether or not you think it's an idea or not. So he's very frustrated because, of course, he would like to see a reserves league of some sort set up, or an under 23s league set up of some sort. Would you
Yeah.
do you feel, one, that is something that, the Summer League should sort of look into, and of course the other thing is around the League Cup. I mean, are you happy that the league doesn't do a League Cup, or would you rather see that in?
Bit of both for me, really. You talk about under 23s or under reserves, there is quite a big gap between, say, the youth level to making a step up to the first team. We've got a young lad, Luca Miller. He's come through the ranks, and he is really good. He's one for the future sort of thing. But he's probably the only one who's come through, kept him for probably many years, I think. I don't know that personally, but I'd like to say so. But there is a big gap. So a reserve team or under 23s for me would be quite good, because it gives you a bit of a feeder when you do need to have a look at players, and you can bring from within, rather than you need a player, you've got to get a loan player from a Peterborough or Northampton. You can go from within, can't you? And promote that. So yeah, probably for me, yeah, it would be good, but it's down to finances again, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. I think it's actually incumbent on clubs like Kettering to actually develop young talent. That's what we're here for. It's not just there from a sort of a business point of view where you might be able to develop them and then you get a sell-on fee. That's a business model that is echoed in the Football League, as well as it would be in the non-league, because that's, if you get a good player, and that is a way of being able to raise income. But it's not about that. I think it's really about the self-development of the talent of the local community, because we are a hub. People do come to us, and we want to be able to generate that grassroots interest and engagement, whether it's in terms of the academy, the under 23s, which we're looking at the moment as well. So not too bold about the League Cup side of it, because I think there's a lot of time and effort that's put into staging games, and obviously we've seen it at the Premier League, where some of the players, are beginning to say that they're running out of steam and fitness and fatigue because of the number of games that they play. So there has to be a balance there as well, especially as some of the players are part, well, most of, well, at least our players, are actually part-time other teams in our league. I think there's one that's is now full-time. I think Elchurch, if I'm correct. So it just shows you the level of, professionalism. But I think it is absolutely incumbent that we actually develop talent. And Lavs is right that we've got a couple of players that have come through, perhaps, well, only one that's really reached that level. But there has to be more, because the talent's there.
I know he was saying, I mean, somebody said to him, the reason they can't do it for is because, you don't want your under 23 traveling from, like you've got a 3.5 hour travel on a Tuesday night to play a game of football. And I think one of the things that was brought up then was, well, look, we've got these Trident leagues. We're supposed to be the Trident leagues, Northern,
Yeah.
Southern, and Isthmian. You know, there's a lot of clubs around the Wear area, so the likes of Hertford Town, and you can go over to Waltham Abbey in the Isthmian League and Waltham Stone Isthmian League. So there's a lot of them that are sort of, you could almost have them as sort of like a separate up into different leagues, or, you know, across that under 23 structure, so that they didn't have to travel 3 hours for an away game.
Exactly.
You know, you could
Yeah.
actually travel them all in inside their own sort of tiny little area.
Yeah, you could have a small league, couldn't you? But within like a certain distance, so you play each other maybe two or three, four times a year, rather than having a big division. So you could do it. There's ways and means of doing it, but whether it happens or not, who knows?
So, I mean, going into the league though, Richard, this year, I mean, what was your sort of plans? Was it to sort of playoffs automatic?
A lot of dogs have. When I come in last year, I had a complete clear out at the end of the season, mate. I think I kept two or three players from the previous squad. So I knew I needed to clear out. I knew I wanted to put my stamp on things. No disrespect to the team that was there before, but it wasn't my team. So if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way. And I said all pre-season that you'll see a completely different team at Kettering. And hopefully the fans have seen that. Sitting where we are behind the table, obviously the proof's in the pudding sort of thing. I know it's early days, but I've put a team together from sort of scratch, like Doug just said. So it has been, my summer wasn't my summer because I was on the phone constant every day trying to sign players and put a squad together willing to go and compete at the right end of the table. And at the minute, it's working. But I'm, like I said, I'm not getting carried away with it.
How difficult is that though? When you do that, when you know, I know the gentleman who used to be on the show with me. He's been into a couple of clubs where he's walked in there and he's been one player. Do you know what I mean? So I mean, how difficult is that to sort of build that up from, you know, from almost next to nothing and get it up to, you know, a plan size that you need for that season.
Well, before pre-season, my hair was black, jet black. No, I wouldn't want to do it again. I won't tell lies. I wouldn't want to do it again. I'd rather keep the majority of my squad and add four or five players, which is easy. I wouldn't ask for any manager. I wouldn't think say to manager go and do that because it is fair. You can do it, but I've done it and trying to compete at the top end of the table. If you say to me, put a team together and just finish mid-table, bottom half, I'm not saying it would be easy or easier, but I'll put a team together that I want to compete. For me, minimum playoffs. That's my goal, and I think that's the club's goal now. They've seen 10 games or 11 games what we've played. I think they see something now that could be something good going forward.
I mean, how do you go about that? Like, are you one of those type of managers that you know gets in a few to start with and then sort of just waits a little bit until, you know, other people that might have come to you previously and said, look, Governor, I want 300 quid a week or whatever else, and they go somewhere else, they can't get it, and then they might take your, I'm not so,
Yeah,
just
yeah, yeah,
tracking
yeah.
figures off the top of my head, and
No.
you've offered them 100 quid and all of a sudden they come back for £100. I mean, what type of management style are you to getting players in?
Oh, I had some mad conversations over the summer regarding money. The reason why I was finding it hard to find players because it was a whole new team, so people were waiting for that one or two first signings to see who I was signing. So I'm trying to get one or two marquee signings to spur the rest of them to come and join. So it was a bit of cat and mouse, really. I managed to get a lad called Connor Johnson, a CJ from Peterborough Sports, early doors. And that sort of spiralled a few signings on because he's a good calibre player. He's come from the league above. He was at Kettering before. So once non-league football is quite, everyone knows and everyone talks to each other. So they are all talking about money. Oh, he's offered me, the manager's offered me this. Oh, go and ask for this. So it was one of them. I had like back and forth with the same players. Probably four, five, six conversations in a week coming asking me for more money. Can I have this? Can I have that? I'm trying to be a bit stubborn saying no. He's offered me this. This club's offered me this. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that's absolutely killing me here. So it was hard, mate. I won't tell lies. It was very difficult. But once you start getting one or two through the door, it then becomes a little bit easier for you to attract the rest.
Is it a case of as well that I hear managers say to me, like, you know, that they're in the game, you know, like yourself at the minute, you know, managing away, then all of a sudden they might lose their job or they walk away from a job for personal reasons or whatever else, and then they might come back in 6 months late. 6 months later, they get another job somewhere else. Have you ever been in that situation? And if you have, how do you sort out your as I always call it, a little black book that, you know, most people will follow Richard from Kettering, and you might go to somewhere else, and then you'll find three or four of those players there, and then the same three or four players in another team. How difficult is it to sort of keep up to date with what players are around and update your sort of little black book?
I'm quite fortunate, really, because I've not really had a load of jobs, and I've not been, I should be saying this on live because it might happen. I've not been sacked from a club. Like, I've always done wherever I've been, I've done quite well because I believe in my own ability to put a good team together. So I hope it stays that way. But like I said, when I left Bourne to come to Kettering, I only took one player with me. He's no longer here at the minute. He went to Stamford in pre-season, but I could have took a few more. Which were good for me at step four, but I just don't think they're ready to step up to step three and compete with what I want to do. So the fans are asking me, why didn't you take this player? Why didn't you take that player? There's a reason why I never took them, because if they were good enough and ready, obviously I'd have took them. But you've got to go further afield and players that have been there and done it. And you need a bit of experience with a bit of youth as well. Like, you can't have all old players, you can't have all young players. So you've got to have a good mixture, which Doug will probably vouch for this. I've got in the change room right now. I've got a bit of both, you see. So it's working at the minute.
I mean, how many players do you actually work on, and do you feel your ideal squad? What sort of numbers do you actually run with?
Well, we've got at the minute, I think we've got a couple of injuries, but at the minute, I think about 18 or 19, with a couple going out on loan in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, I'll probably when everyone's fit, I've probably got about 19, which is too many, really, because you can only have five on the bench. Obviously, the FA Cup's a bit different, but to keeping everyone happy is very difficult, especially when you've got 19 players. You've got to leave two or three out of the squad on a match day, which is hard, isn't it? The subs hate you anyway, so if you're left out of the squad, it's even worse, isn't it?
Right.
It's very difficult, yeah.
Isn't it also, I think that it's not a static situation. So you've got injuries coming in, certain players are on contract, some are not. It's something that is a constant. I mean, we were just talking just before we came on here earlier, just about the number of calls that lads have been involved with and other parts of the club, but just to be able to see who's available, who's not. It's such a fluid situation. You think you've got a squad, that's great, and that's the way it happens until you get the next, window as such. But there is no window here, really. It's something that is a constant, and you've got to keep your finger on it because it just change, especially with the performance of other teams. And we've already seen that this season already. So it's really fluid, really, really fluid.
Have you noticed though, Richard, sort of like, I mean, in the years that you've been doing being a manager, have you noticed the sort of the increase in what a player's actually asking you for now?
Oh yeah, ridiculous, mate. It's gone stupid. So it's copy. I'm not saying it's copying it. It's copying a Premiership, but on a lower scale. Some players, when I was at Corn, they were coming up to me, and I don't even know them, know where they've played. They've played lower down the scale, but they're asking for silly amounts of money. I'm thinking, you haven't even played anywhere. It just but saying that, then, mate, if other clubs are doing it, like in our league, there's some big pays in our league, far bigger pays than us. But if they're doing it, you either sink or swim. You either go with it and pay that amount, or you get left behind, which is not fair, really, because clubs can't generate that much money to survive. You get a couple of clubs that have got maybe one or two owners or that are willing to put their own money in, but how long does that last before it goes pear-shaped? You know what I mean? You can only do so much, can't you?
Absolutely. So I mean, in your league itself, what's the game that you look forward to the most when you look at the fixtures, or when you saw the fixtures come out? Is there one game that maybe
Yeah,
you,
they're both,
Richard,
yeah,
yourself looked at and think?
for me, mate, it'll probably be Telford because of the size of the club, and I've played there before. So, yeah, it's probably Telford for me because I know they'll be up there at the end of the year as well. So hopefully we will. They lost in the playoff final last year, so they're up there at the minute. I think they're on the same points as us, the same games. So yeah, probably Telford for me, mate. Yeah, but probably Doug's probably different. He probably wants to look for local derby sort of thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's about local, but that would be, we had one at Harborough, the Harborough came across, so we had that recently. So it makes it more local, makes it more relevant, makes it more exciting for us in terms of bragging rights, etc. But those sorts of things make it magical for us. So, and we've got a good blend, I think, in the actual league. Quite a few that we played before. We've got some new teams in here as well. So. And there's still a fair bit of distance to cover, even on Tuesday nights. If you're going out to, Leiston, for example, or you're going to, Sudbury or wherever it is, or even Telford and Bromsgrove, it's still a lot of travel if you're doing that sort of, Tuesday, Saturday, as we're doing that at this time, and it's regularly. That's, it takes a lot of toll and, quite a lot of juggling for the players, the staff, and all of the extra volunteers as well. So it's, yeah,
What's the
it's a mixed bag.
what is the furthest journey?
I think
Would
probably
it be
isn't it?
Leicester?
Lowestoft.
Would it be Leicester Sudbury? Lowestoft?
Yeah, Lowestoft, Leiston, probably out that way. That's probably got to
Yeah.
be the furthest out on the coasts.
And then if you come up north, obviously from Kettering, so there's obviously a few long ones up north for obviously the Kettering people, or definitely the London lads, like Telford, like Doug just said,
Yeah,
Bromsgrove, that
Bromsgrove.
sort of way. It's 3 hours plus, I suppose, from probably more from London. Yeah, so there's some quite decent journeys, mate. Yeah, so it's not easy.
So a bit gutted then that this Telford game's now going to be a midweek one
I know, yeah, because obviously the FA Cup. So yeah, that's put that one back, hasn't it? So we've got to do that midweek. It's not too bad for me. It's only about an hour. I think it's just about an hour and a half for me, so it's not too bad. But from Kettering and from London, obviously, it's a bit further, mate. Yeah.
I mean, some of these fixtures like that, and I've asked people this question previously before, when you've got like long journeys, so I'm going to whack the fact out again that I seem to do every single week, but Mousel in the South Division, this year their away journeys is over 8,000 miles. So there's not
Sorry.
much you could do, there's not much you could do with them because they are the extreme. But what I'm trying to say is you see some of these journeys maybe that is a long journey away, the Leastons, the Lowestofts, the Sudburys, and all these type of people. And all of a sudden that game gets called off, either one way or the other, home or away. I always feel that that maybe there should be a look at it and go, well, look, on this date, you're playing this team that's only like 50 miles up the road. So what we'll do is we'll take that game out and we'll stick in that game on a Saturday rather than putting it on a during a midweek and trying to find a way around it so that you guys haven't got to travel down there, and leave at stupid o'clock in the afternoon and then arrive at stupid o'clock in the morning.
No, I totally agree, mate. I think it's stupid that on a midweek game you've got to travel 3 hours to a game because, like Doug just said there, all these players are part-time. They've got a job in the daytime. Whether you're leaving work early, you've got to lose money from leaving work, or say you work for yourself or whatever, you're losing money to travel up to wherever, 3 hours on the coach on a Tuesday night, and then you're getting back. We've all done it. I've done it myself. You're getting back at 1 or 2 in the morning. It's not too bad if you win, but you go up there and you lose. It's not good, mate. And it can change the season, can't it? It can turn your season. Them sort of midweek games. I always say these midweek games, you'll look back at the end of the year if you took points from them. That's how you get promoted. The hard away trips on a midweek. If you can take something home with you, that's when the league is win or lost for me.
It's quite funny you say that about what depending on what the journey's like on the way back, because again, talking about Mousel the other day, they had their furthest journey, which was out to Thatcham. Which was a God knows how many, I can't
Wow.
remember the hours they said it was, but they were 2-0 down at half time. And I was thinking exactly that, cool, what a journey that's going to be all the way home after getting beat. And they turned it round and won the match 3-2. But it's that type of thing we think, God dear me, that is a long old journey. And I know when I was with Harlow and I was match day secretary at Harlow for about two or three seasons in a row, they worked it out that I think Wroxham, their second nearest. They had their local derbies that they'd have around that sort of area that they were in, the Deerhams and people like this. And then their next nearest home game or away game, if you know what I'm trying to say, their next nearest team to them was Harlow. So we would always have to play to them the first Tuesday or the first Wednesday of every season away in Wroxham. I love it up there, but that's a good sort of like 2-3 hour journey. It's just like, it was a ridiculous, crazy journey.
Like you just said there, mate, the away trip, especially on a Saturday, if you're going away to somewhere and you get 3 points in the journey home, you flip that and you think, what a day like. You can have a few drinks on the way home. We did were I'm talking a few years ago again, when I was at Hinckley, we did Workington. Obviously Workington, absolutely miles away, isn't it? I think it was 4 hours, I think, on a coach, but we played them in the semi-final of the playoffs. But that Saturday was unbelievable because we went up there and won. So the journey on the way home is great, but if you lose, obviously, it's not so great, is it? So yeah.
I think you see, it's funny you're saying about the journeys and about the best journeys home. I mean, I know we, when, again, when I was with Harlow, I can't remember what, if it was either the trophy or if it was the FA Cup at the time, and we got drawn against Bath. And we had Ibrahim Asunco playing at centre half for us because his agent was the owner of our club. And we're doing really well in the competition. And, you know, I think it was probably one round before the first round or whatever it was. And we ended up, say, pulling them at home. And I think after about 20 minutes of the game, he's gone up for a header. And he split his head open so badly, they're about to take him off the pitch. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, that's game over now. And we managed to get a draw. And we had to go down to Bath, down to the old Bristol Rovers ground, you know, down there and on a Tuesday night. And we got all the way, all physically down there, got to the ground. And of course, everybody's super excited because it's a replay, really old ground and all the rest of it. We were hauled into all the people like, you know, the chairman and the secretary. We were hauled into a taped off area in the boardroom that we couldn't go outside this thing around. And we ended up turning them over at Bath. And it was one of the best journeys home I think I've ever had because I was actually one of the players' coach as well. So it was a fantastic journey on the way home. But you just, as you say, you remember those sort of
Yeah, great. Good
sort of
days, mate.
journeys. Yeah.
Yeah, good
I mean,
days.
do you get many youth coming to the games yourself now? I know you're saying you get about 900, but I mean, have you got the next generation of supporters coming through?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, we are. Again, we're the sort of community base. So all of the, you got the mascots there. You got people from, you got the kids from the academies. They're also bringing their parents along as well. Obviously, they're bringing them, but the parents are coming along as well. And it's that's really important because, you know, the even the owners, you know, George and Andy would and Fabian would say that they're only custodians for the club, really. They're only going to be there for a while, so to make it as best as they can in the time that they've got there. So, and it is really important that the community is involved in the development of the club, both on and off the pitch. So yes, yeah, we do, and I think it's great because that's one of the benefits. And certainly with somebody look at some of the other leagues, because of the ticket prices, some of them can, you know, that they have to only go on because of special occasions, but they can go and experience that sort of a game, you know, week in, week out there, and have a fantastic time.
Well, I'll let you into a little secret. I think that it's actually your club that does it, and I might be wrong, because I think it was your club that actually caught me out with the Southern League goal show a couple of 2 or 3 weeks ago. Because the footage that you guys send in, you slow it down. I'm sure it's your footage.
Yes, we
So
can.
they,
Yes,
you
we
slow it down, and I was sitting there because I watch every single goal when I'm editing it, and I'm sitting here on a Tuesday afternoon editing it after I finish work, and all of a sudden, the commentary starts to go, what's going on here? Like, for a minute, I thought the computer had broke. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there and worked out that it'd actually been put into slow motion.
Keeping you
It's
on your
so
toes. So
funny.
we do
It
slow,
was,
yeah,
yeah.
we do.
Absolutely. But listen, guys, time has run away from us. And I don't know that Richard's been on the phone all day and he just wants to sit down and relax, put the phone off.
No, I've got another call after this. I've got another meeting at
But
8 o'clock. So yeah, I've got another one, mate.
listen, I really do appreciate you coming. Really do wish you all the very, very best against Farsley Celtic at the weekend. And let's hope you get past that and end up getting a Birmingham or a Wrexham at home and more money in the coffers for you.
Yeah, I really appreciate me talking to you, mate. Nice to meet you.
And
Yeah.
you, mate,
Thank
anytime.
you,
And
mate.
say anytime the club wants anything, you've only just got to give us a call, and we can use this as for you, no problem whatsoever. One thing I will say to everybody, of course, is don't forget, of course, as well, that the Repos Non-League Show has been nominated for an award in the Football Contents Award at under Non-League Podcast. So please make sure you vote on there because the more votes we can get, as I say, 14 years now of doing this show, it'd be lovely just to get some kind of recognition back after 14 years. So please, if you can, follow the links and on all of my social media. And of course, vote for the Repos Non-League Show. But we'll be back next week. Well, I will be. These guys won't be because they'll be celebrating a win in the FA Cup. But I'll be back next week. And until then, a massive thank you to Doug and to Richard. But for me, good night.
Cheers, mate.